It is good to be here. It's also good to have my sermon. That's my daughter and my two daughters, actually, who have come to join me, just as well they did, because they had to rush home and get my sermon. And the last time I was here, I didn't have any grandchildren, but now I have one. That's my grandson sitting there. So it's good to be here and to be amongst you. But they had to rush home and get my sermon. You know, there was a saying when a visiting preacher visited, he said to the session clerk, "Is there a order of service?" The session clerk said to him, "Well, if we're lucky, God will change it." Well, we're lucky that we're able to change things for me to get what I was going to say to you. I want to focus on who are the called. Who are the called? When people are good at their jobs, they say that they've got a calling to that particular job. In the church, it's necessary to say that ministers have a calling to be ministers of the word and sacrament. Well, elders are called to function as elders and to have spiritual oversight of a congregation. My focus is, who do you think are called? Let's just pray for a moment. Father in heaven, as we come to the reading of the opening of your word, and as we meditate upon it, that you would grant to us wisdom from on high, that our minds may not be closed, but be opened by the leading of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Corinthians, Paul says, "I have been called to be an apostle." God called him to be an apostle. Further on in that letter, he says that the church has been called to be witnesses to Jesus. And if we really want to think about it for a while, it is not just up to the minister or the elders or people we place in ministry as paid positions, but we are all called to be servants of God. You have a special calling because you are God's person. It's just not a matter of saying, "Yes, I believe in Jesus, and yes, I thank you for the forgiveness of sins," and that is it. That is the beginning. That is the beginning. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself." In other words, the message that we have for a world outside is being built on the foundations of the prophets and the apostles and even Jesus Christ himself. And the message was from the very foundation of the world that the mystery hidden from ages past was that the message of the gospel is to all people. To all people. Paul goes on in chapter 3 and says, "For this reason I am a prisoner of Christ for the Gentiles." Paul uses the expression not only to highlight his current physical state, but a state of being a prisoner of Christ. In other words, if you're a prisoner, you don't get to do the things you want to do you? You are told when to do things. And if we really want to be honest with ourselves, if we want to see the glory of God in what we do, if we want to see the power of God at work in the church, and the people we serve in the community, we need to be prisoners of the sovereign God. We love taking control. We love taking control. We're a people that love taking control. We do not like not knowing what's going to happen. We love taking control, and we need to know steps by steps what is going to happen. But if God is Lord of our lives, That control is no longer us. It is Jesus, through the power of his Spirit, that takes control of our lives, directs us, encourages us into ministry. The day you accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour, the day you said to Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you've given to me, thank you for your love that you've given to me, the day you said that, the control of your life no longer belongs to you, but to God. But to God. And I think that's a real issue that we need to face in the church. The control of the church is not left in courts of the church, nor in moderators, nor in ministers, nor in Kirk sessions, nor in committees of management. The control of the church belongs to Jesus. For this reason, the church was set up, that we might demonstrate the wisdom and the power of God and the mercy of God to the rest of the world around about us. If you go back into Ephesians, it talks about how the church should operate. It's no good having a message if the message is being clouded by our actions and by the way we treat one another. The message is clouded. What did Jesus tell us? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples because of the love you have one for another. We need to be a church, a congregation, that is loving or demonstrates that same love that Jesus had for us in everything that we do. We are a family. And I know families get into trouble, and I know families have problems. But we need to work through those problems through the power of the Spirit, always demonstrating the joy that we have in Him. Have you often wondered if someone walked in to church and sat down, would they really know what was going on? Would they feel the excitement and the love? Would they really know that they are in the presence of God? I wonder. In verse 11, Paul tells us, the church, according to the purpose, his eternal purpose accomplished in Jesus Christ. In other words, he has chosen his church from the very foundation of time, that we are the instruments of the proclamation of the gospel. And that gospel message, I think, I don't know how many of you were there to my induction service, I was talking about the gospel being done prayerfully, carefully, and clearly. That's how we should proclaim it. Prayerfully, acknowledging God as this the author and the source of our faith. Very careful to make sure that we're doing it without being condemning those around about us. And clearly, they might understand, not in sort of church jargon, but in 20th century words that people might understand. And I think that's another issue that we need to do as a church, to make sure that the message we are proclaiming is not clouded by what we do or how we go about doing things, but it's open and honest and a genuine care and concern for people that we come in contact with day by day. So the called are you and me. The purpose of calling so that we can share that gospel message, so that we as a church may know the power of God. Cannot be done in our own strength or our own resources, but in the strength of Jesus. Verse 13, Paul indicates that it's not an easy task. There will be times when there is trouble, tribulation, disappointment, anguish, and you wonder whether it's all worthwhile. Have those sort of feelings? Whether you think it's all worthwhile? But I can remind you of a story. Remember Joseph and his brothers. Joseph and his brothers were very jealous of Joseph. Sold him. Sent him off to Egypt. Went back and told his father that a wolf had got him, an animal got him. Years went by and there was a famine where his father and brothers were living. And Joseph told the Pharaoh, best we start making provisions because there's going to be a famine, which he did. The time came for him to face his brothers. And I wonder what he said to his brothers. What would you say to a person that has done that to you? Let me tell you what he said. He forgave his brothers and he said, "You meant it for evil, but God has meant it for good. God has meant it for good." In other words, God took that situation. He knew what was going to happen, placed Joseph in a very important, powerful position, and virtually saved the day and saved his brothers in turn. Can I say to you, everything that we do as a church doesn't necessarily work. It may come unstuck. We may have gone down the wrong path. Can I encourage you not to be critical of the people who did it, but to get back on our knees and say to God, "Well, that didn't work. Let's go another way. Let's see what God is going to do." It's not hard. It's not easy. It is not easy spreading the gospel. It is not easy to be a Christian today. The world out there doesn't think that we need a church or its message. We need to demonstrate to them that they do earnestly need the message of the gospel, because it is the only hope to salvation. There is no other name in heaven and earth except Jesus Christ that will save people. And we've got to make sure that we understand that. There is no other name, absolutely no other name, guaranteed 100% truthful in heaven and earth that will save people except Jesus Christ. So we need to be very sure of the message that we preach. Verse 14, according to his riches in glory. In other words, the whole kingdom of God. It's all its richness. It's all its wisdom is given to us as a church. Grounded in love. Grounded in love. We need the people that we come in contact with day by day to know what is the height and the depth and the knowledge of the love of Christ found in Jesus Christ, filled with the fullness of God. That is the message. That is the purpose. And we want to be a part of it. Do we want to see or give opportunity for us to share that gospel message? Do we want to be equipped to share that gospel message? Are we as a church eager to be a part of unveiling that gospel message? You are the called. The church is the called. Why? To preach the gospel message. God has spoken it from the very foundation of the world. The prophets proclaimed it. The apostles proclaimed it. And that proclamation is culminated in the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus from on high. Everything will pass away. Everything will pass away. But God's word never will pass away. His love will never pass away. It is my prayer that as we proceed to serve Jesus, both as an individual and as a church family, that yes, we want to be part of the called. Yes, we seek Jesus to equip us. And yes, we're very eager to share the message of the gospel. Now to him who is able exceedingly abounding above all that we ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that through your unconditional love and by the sending of your Son, we have salvation in you. We thank you, Father, that we did not have to prove anything except to receive the gift from you. We thank you, Father, because of this. We are being made right with you, and that your Spirit is poured out upon us, that we might be empowered with your witness and service. And Father, it is our prayer today that we might be eager to hear your call, that being equipped in the Spirit, we might see you at work in the lives of those we come in contact with every day of our lives. To the honour of your name we pray, and for the gathering of your people, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.